So, you know, the good news, Richard, is this, that there are a lot of people on the podium or at the panel up front who have PhD degrees or MD degrees or whatever. But I can assure you that some of us can care, but we cannot cure, because our degrees are not necessarily medically oriented. That said, I want to give special thanks to Elena Wong. Is she still in the room? She might have left.
She's hovering outside.
Okay, she's outside. So she did a remarkable job, along with Lung, in putting together this very special event for you today. We're all delighted to be here. We also want to thank all of the panelists for making time to, I think, address a very important issue and a set of concerns. So let me say that, you know, there are PowerPoints that I have available, but I'm not going to use them because 10 minutes goes like that. And I don't want to get stuck on PowerPoint number 3 and then lose, you know, the next 7 or whatever. So I'm going to talk a little bit about this and say as well that the White House Conference on Aging report has not yet been released. And I called Nora Super to find out actually whether I could get my hands on some of the data, et cetera. And she said it's really not out there yet. So consider this a preliminary analysis and consider this kind of food for thought for the future. I think the future is really important. I have a father who's 100 years old, and he announced about 2 weeks ago that he plans to live to 110. So that means we've got a lot of work to do here. I just want to say this about the White House Conference on Aging. I think it's important to think about it. It's probably the finest living example of participatory democracy. Think about that. We have very few other such federal national examples in which people from all across the country would be able to input and perhaps even shape policy and program development. That was at least the vision when it first began. And in 1956, some forward-thinking person in the Eisenhower administration said, "Oh my God, look at the demographic trends coming up. We have to do something about aging." And so the conceptualization of the importance of working on aging issues began back then. I will tell you that 60 years ago. And one thing that I will say is that as much as we've made much progress, it has been slow. I think the National Institute on Aging should have a budget that's manyfold its time now. I think there are lots of things that really should be reconfigured in order to address current realities as opposed to realities that have been with us for the last 60 to 100 years. So that's just, you know, pitch right from the start. But if it is, then, an example of living participatory democracy, then the question becomes, will it remain relevant going into the future? What I should tell you is if you look at the Older Americans Act, which really was the blueprint for aging services and programs and at least the foundation for the beginning of policy development, you will see that in its title, Title I, there is really no mention of diversity. And so everything that happened pretty much emerged around the 1971 White House Conference on Aging. And following that, following the 1971 White House Conference, what you saw was more and more differentiation, more and more specialization. So it wasn't just mental health, it was specifically, you know, depression, suicide, Alzheimer's, and it wasn't just services, but it was services in the home and the community and also in institutional care. And I could go even farther. The tree has many, many, many roots and it has grown over time. As a result of that kind of differentiation, it becomes very difficult to actually try to bring people together around one issue, because people are, frankly, spread all over the spectrum. So if we look to all the White House conferences subsequently, what we saw is a shift from the notion of being aged to aging, which is a process that begins from the point of birth. But in addition to that, that differentiation continued. And by 2005, what we saw was, I would say, the beginning of a trend that I wish we could end, but I have a feeling it's here to stay. And that is that we have seen a greater influence of ideology on the formulation of policy. And in 2005, the White House conference was clearly an ideologically driven conference. President Bush decided he was not going to attend. Some of you who were there will remember that. And much of the conference was actually built around the private sector. So the people who had been engaged in aging services and program and policy development for decades were not able to participate as easily as in prior years. What happened in 2015, just this year, is that we saw again a shift, and this time it was a shift to the use of technology. Now remember the notion of participatory democracy, and we have to ask ourselves, what does that mean going into the future? In the past, there would be elections of delegates at the statewide level, and people would scramble and lobby, and it was really, you know, nudging and fist-fighting to get to be a delegate. One year, I think it was 2005, I was appointed delegate from two different states for three different reasons. And I thought, oh my God, you know, I could sell this. I could sell this pass, right? So if we look into the future, and if we say maybe the White House conference isn't going to be quite the same ever again, maybe it's going to take more of a, you know, a dedicated network on television in which issues are presented and people get to press and vote, you know, whatever. Maybe it's going to be totally different. I think it would be really flawed for us to think that we will see the future be exactly like the past. I mean, think about flash mobs. Think about, you know, what happened since the first one in Macy's department store occurred in New York to now. This happens all around the world. And if you think about Twitter and all the other electronic means of communication, we are no longer necessarily writing a letter. We're no longer necessarily just an email. So I think that the future, if there are any White House conferences on aging, will certainly be very different from the past. The reason I say if is because the fate of the White House Conference on Aging has always been dependent upon a number of things. Presidential priorities, congressional champions, and if it were not for Eisenhower in 56, we probably would not have the Federal Council on Aging. It would not have led up to the Older Americans Act. If we didn't have people like Senator Claude Pepper of Florida, who was known as Mr. Social Security, and Congressman Edward Roybal of California, I don't think aging issues would have really made their mark in both houses of Congress. Today, I would ask you to think about one champion in Congress. We don't have a dedicated champion who's pushing aging issues. And the AAPI issues are somewhat also diverse at this, you know, spread. So if we look at the larger sociopolitical context, I would argue to you that the ideological divide has gotten worse and that we know that some candidates are saying get rid of all entitlement programs. The Older Americans Act and many of the new initiatives that we have come out of discretionary fund pots. That means that Congress can easily get rid of them. The entitlement programs, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, that's what they're saying get rid of. You get rid of that, you get rid of discretionary funded programs, we have nothing left. So I would say that is extraordinarily important. Aging programs are not cheap. They are costly. But they're costly because of the intensity of care, because the numbers are growing, because of that diversity in the older adult population, which is more and more beginning to actually parallel or look like the general population, with a few exceptions. In addition to that, there are competing priorities, and I would say more and more differentiation within these competing priorities as well. And out of all of this, I think one issue that is emerging to be an issue around which the global community will likely be able to coalesce is the issue of inequality, and under that, insecurity. And I don't mean, you know, just insecurity in terms of defense, but I'm talking about insecurity in relation to poverty, insecurity in relation to water, insecurity in relation to food, insecurity in relation to homes, etc. So when we look at the White House Conference on Aging, Kathy Greely, who is currently the Assistant Secretary on Aging, was asked, so what is going to, you know, how will we know this White House Conference has been a success? And she said, we'll have to look at the outcomes. We'll have to look at what actually is produced. And so the other thing that I would say is accountability is going to be really important. So if we indeed go towards a more technologically driven, community-based kind of participatory, opportunity for people to bring in their ideas about aging, then I think we also have to be very, very careful and be sure that we've built in mechanisms for accountability. So going forward, one other thing I will say is this, that if you look at the Asian American population in particular, that I think we also need to think about that population differently. And the reason I say differently is because, as well, there's differentiation within it. But we are going to begin to understand the Asian American population within a larger context. 60% of the world's people are Asian. So whenever I introduce myself to the new class of students at the School of Social Work at Columbia, because we have 800 students in our master's program, I say to them, come learn diversity well. And just remember that you, those of you who have enjoyed being the majority in the U.S., are really the minority in the world. So it's important to know how to deal with diverse people. I'm actually suggesting that as we go forward, therefore, we have to ask ourselves what form of government or what form of participatory democracy is actually going to work for us. Secondly, advocacy is going to have to be different because of technology. And finally, that we better really think about who we are as a people, and not just people within the United States, but in the larger world community. Because what happens in the world happens in the U.S. What happens in the U.S. increasingly not necessarily is accepted in the world. So I think that there's some really serious fundamental rethinking that needs to occur. And probably what I will do is end with this, that George Bush said, I've often thought that the process of aging could be slowed down if it had to go through Congress. I agree with him. But there is a Greek saying that I really believe in, and it really goes back to my initial point, but I may not be able to cure, but I sure can care. And I can care by being sure that those of you who are students in this room are well prepared to take care of our society so that my 110-year-old father will still be thriving and will still be enjoying a good quality of life. And so the saying that I will close with is a Greek saying that I love. A society grows great when old men and women plant trees whose shade they know they shall never sit in. Let us hope that we can do that. Thank you.